Super great that we get to do this. Super great we get to do this. All of us on the phone, we get to talk about leadership with God. I hesitate to say I bet it's the only call like this in the world. Isn't that, it's a wonderful thing, and at the same time, it's a sobering thing, isn't it? Chapter 18, The Power of Two, 2022. As I make this recording, I say to you this morning, Gary, I want to see assignment from you on the power of two. You have things to share. Yes, Gary, I mean you. Chapter 18, The Power of Two, 2022. I start with Matthew 18, 20. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. I'm going to talk today about two. One plus one equals two, right? You and me, the power of two. You and your spouse, you and your best friend, you and your pastor, you and me. There's power in two of things. Two horses, two dogs, both are better than one. But I'm not talking about animals this morning. Two rockets, two rifles. Well, two rockets is more firepower than two rifles. But I'm not talking about weaponry. I'm talking about people. I'm talking about you. You and who you get together with. You can't have a, for example, you can't have a meaningful conversation with more than one person at a time. Certainly not an intimate conversation. Really, you might say? Really? I talk to a lot of people at one time, you might say. Sorry, gang. No, you don't. Try talking about your innermost thoughts with five people at a time, or three, or four. Not as good, right? Who you pick to talk about the real matters. Who you pick, that requires trust. Why not me and God is the power of two? I had to get it in my head a long time ago that all of us can and do decide that God is talking to us when he's not. You see, the spirit realm that the Bible talks about is a battleground, a battle for your soul, a battle for good and evil, and a battle that is won and lost in your mind. You often heard me say, your mind is a dangerous neighborhood. Don't go in there by yourself. It's true. The power of two, you and a good idea. Ideas like God are conceptual in my head. I need to learn how to navigate God as God, not as I see or perceive him. Let me say it again. I need to learn how to navigate God as God, not as I perceive him. Not every thought is from God. Not every idea is good. Discernment comes from fellowship, and fellowship is the power of two. 1 John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Yeah, just think about that. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. I realize that I need to pray about my ideas, my thoughts, my actions, especially my actions before I do them. To discuss the plan first with competent individuals, now that's something. I need to discuss with people, competent people. However, in the final analysis, there is generally one person I will ask about ministry issues, job issues, family matters. Could it be the same person? Well, sure, it could be. Or it could be a single person in each area. The point is, pertinent conversations can only be held with one other person at a time. You say, I don't think so. Well, you better think so. You better start thinking so. Because one at a time, the power of two is the power. Discussions can be held with a lot of people. That's true. It can be. I'm not talking about discussions. I'm talking about the real, bottom-line, heartfelt decision-making that comes late at night, early in the morning, on the battlefield of life. In these paramount times of my life, I can only share my most careful thoughts with one person at a time. What if it's the wrong person? Catastrophic. In this instance, the wrong person, in the power of two, can ultimately sway the direction of a situation into dangerous consequences. I see it all the time. Husband and wife decide on an incorrect path, and they're set on it, and it's not right. It's incorrect. Partners in business decide on an incorrect investment, a gamble that can ruin all God's blessings given to a successful corporation. Two decide on an incorrect path of anything? Not good. Why can't I just add God as two? Why can't I do that? Me and God. You know why? Because I wouldn't listen to him. You wouldn't listen to him. You'd ask somebody else. Why? Because God is outside of my understanding. Isaiah 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, kids, I can't add God as the power of two. I add him into the power of two, me and another person. You see, I can't add God as the power of two. I add him into the power of two, me and another person. You see, I can't marry God. I can marry my wife and add God. You see, you can't have a business partner with God. You take your business partner and add God. Partnering with God is to understand God, knowing you can't understand God. So you add him into everything, and you ask him to add you to him at all times. Scripture says, where two or more are gathered in my name, I am there. The power of two can go both ways, good or not so good, as I said here. Adding God to a situation is giving the power of two power. Adding God to a situation is giving the power of two. Accepting God in a situation as the leader of all things, accepting him is bringing him in. That is the power. Get it? Adding God to you and your spouse is adding power. Adding God to you and your partner is adding power to the power of two. Adding God to you and your pastor is adding power to the power of two. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Oh, yeah, come on, bring it. What's the downside? Me, I'm the downside when I'm untrained. I had to realize in my life, finding people to agree with me was normal. Natural human quality, right? I don't know if you call it a quality. Finding people that criticize me without a solution was also normal. A natural condition of humanity. But then I had to realize that both of them had no place in fiduciary duties. Neither one of those had any place in fiduciary duties. I have been given, you have been given, authority and responsibility. And to those who are given much, much is required. Scripture says that specifically. Learn discernment, align with correct people. Proverbs 20:18. Plans are established by counsel. By wise counsel, wage war. So before you make a move, baby, established by counsel, the power of two. All of you have been given a great deal. You've been given a great deal. All of you on this phone. Amazing lives. You could, you know, I was discussing it yesterday. You know, you could work twice as hard and make $15 an hour. Three times as hard. Four times as hard. Make $18 an hour. The fact that you yield what you yield, that is God. But when you're pressed against what you want to do, when you're pressed against it, when you're against it, will you run? You know, when you're pressed against, you know, like people don't want to do what you want to do. They don't want to do it. You don't want to do it. What will you do when there's a discussion, an argument? What are you going to do? You're going to run? Will you point fingers? Will you cut ties with those people who have brought you success? Because now you have decided they are not proper for you? Yeah, you will do all of that. And so will I without proper counsel. Can you believe that? Everybody that has ever helped you in your life, you'll cut ties with them because they disagree with you. When you finally make it to somewhere you think is, you know, all that and a bag of chips, when you find, you'll run. When people don't get along, they tell you that you're not right, blah, you'll run without proper counsel. And that one person that you cut ties with keeps you correct, even when all others agree with you against that good counsel. That one person will stop you from what I call the origin of failure. that place in your life where you make the decision to do something you feel is absolutely right and it is absolutely wrong. Without the correct power of two, you will, in the end, be tested and fail. Me too. And that goes the other way too. You will do this for someone. When it's time for you to stop taking from God and start giving to God, the power of two, you will be in the driver's seat in the power of two and help someone from catastrophic failure. You will redirect them in the face of everybody that says, no, no, you're right. You're right, Waldo. Why, you should do what you want to do. When everybody is saying that to your pal and you're the one that says, don't do it, man. Don't jump off that cliff. You can't fly. You will be the strength and the power of two. Look, the Bible says you will be tested. And for you to have what you have, each one of you out here, myself, you have so much to keep it, to earn your place as a leader, you must be tested. You must go through challenging times to become worthy of what you have been given, to absolutely go through the fire and be tested and come out better. Absolutely, you have to be able to use the gifts God has given you to glorify God and the Great Commission given to all of us. Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. He says, go do it, man, and I'm with you. He is with you. Use him in your choices. Otherwise, pick the wrong person to emulate, and you fail. The power of two, you and the wrong person. Ooh, is it possible to add God to you and the wrong person? I thought about that a lot. I have found it is not possible for me to add God to a relationship with the wrong person. Why? Well, here you go. Because at that point, I've decided what God should think, and I'm trying my best to validate that. God is not a part of it. It's all me, baby. At this point, I can use the power of two to breach my fiduciary duty and cause me and those around me to disaster. All in the name of good and God. Oh, man, think about that, kid. Scripture tells me two is better. Two strong, courageous people, especially in battle. Be sure, kids, this world is a battleground. Be sure. This world is a battleground. It is. Ecclesiastes 4:11. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Woo, there it is. God is the third cord, the third strand in a rope of two strands, the glue that binds a strength to a rope that saves your life and draws you up into the light of wisdom in the authority he has given you, in his grace, mercy, and love, in the power of two, add God, the threefold cord, add God. John 14:23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Wow, that's big, man. We just got finished talking about redundancy, the backup system, right? Well, who's your backup system? The enemy is of the spiritual battle, something that is above my pay scale and yours. You know, think about that for a minute. Spiritual battle. What do you do in a spiritual battle? What do you do? James 4:7, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. First thing first, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Two believers are stronger in spiritual warfare. The scripture does not say that where one or more freeloaders are gathered, It says, two or more gathered in my name. That's heavy, kids. Gathered in his name. Add God. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The enemy, the thing that comes against all of us, he has overcome the world. Helen Keller said, alone we can do so little. Together we can do so much. Wow. Ecclesiastes 4:9, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. Let me tell you about the power of two men walking along. It's a story. Then, boom, Jesus drops in. Two men walking along. As I read this passage to you, know that in this actual historical account, this is history, written down, confirmed, Jesus has just risen from the dead. Mute your phones, please. Mute your phones. This is going to be very important. Mute your phone. Jesus has just risen from the dead. And one of his first adventures as the risen Christ is here with these men in Luke 24. They call it the road to Emmaus. It's amazing. Two men, the power of two. Here we go. Here we go. Listen closely. It's a really great story. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, they were discussing God, the crucifixion, all that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? What things? He asked. This is God, man. They're talking about God, and God dropped in where two or more gathered in his name. God dropped in. So they went on to talk to him. They're schooling him about this. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in the word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. Whoa. They were talking about that. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. They did not see Jesus. They were talking and commiserating about God and what had happened, about Jesus and what had happened, and Christ was right with them. And boy, he taught them. He put them right in order. In verse 25, he said to them, how foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. He told them the story that had been written in prophecy in the Bible all the days before, in the Word, all the days. He schooled them. He brought them clarity to what they were confused about. He brought them clarity. He reminded them that this was supposed to be. Now, in verse 28, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. He was like, okay, guys, I'll see you later, you know. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it's nearly evening and the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. Look, there it is. They invited the Lord in. How many times does it say when Jesus knocks, open the door? They invited him in. And when he was at the table with them, the dinner table, right? He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. He was giving thanks to God When that happened, their eyes were open and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. Wow. Whoa. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They were saying, wow, no wonder we were so excited when he was talking to us and teaching us. It's God. They were saying, wow, our hearts were burning within us when he talked with us on the road. Now we know why. They were so excited, verse 33, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread, when he prayed. By the way, why was there only 11? Well, let's get to that in a second. Two men on the road to Emmaus, struck by the Lord, lit up in the faith of the risen King, sharing the good news with people who would, in fact, they are sharing the news right now with people who, in fact, will bring the gospel to the entire world. The power of two, they brought that truth of Christ to the men that we read about in Scripture. Let me share with you what can be avoided using correctly the power of two. What do you want to avoid? What do you want to avoid? Is it so important to pick the right people to walk with? Proverbs 6, 16, 9. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Oh, wow. Those are the things that destroy futures, aren't they? Destiny, all that is holy and good. And we see it in the world all over the place right now. Innocent blood, wicked schemes, evil, false witness, lies, conflicts, people who cause division. And those things are the things that happen when the power of two is incorrectly used to align with the wrong people. What is my number one go-to scripture for chapter 12? Proverbs 13, 20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. My buddies, pray that he brings solid relationships into your life to assist in bringing glory to his kingdom, and pray that he remove those who are not an ally to you. Always, always add God before you make a move. You must discuss with your number one. You ally with the person. Maybe that person's there temporarily. Maybe that person's been in your life all the time. Be careful with who you cut ties with and who you ally with. 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Amen. Kids, that's your lesson for today. Chapter 18, the power of two. The power of two. Choose wisely. Choose wisely. Add him. Add him in your power of two. Know that you cannot add him if it's incorrectly. So I say that to you again, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Be thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Choose wisely so that he can use you as an example of making zero heroes, people that don't deserve anything like myself, and he raises them up for his glory to prove to all the world that he is God. Let him use you. Be wise. Pray. Ally with correctness. Chapter 18, the power of two, 2022. John, let's get busy.